It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Anoush Zamarodi. And on the show today, bucking the system. Ideas about institutions that are letting us down and the outsiders who are trying to change them. But before we get into that, we have a love story.
For my husband, it was love at first sight.
This is lawyer Preeti Christel on the TED stage.
Here's what happened. Years ago, Rudy, who I had strictly put in the friend zone at the time, came over to my house and met my dad, a pharmaceutical scientist who had just retired after bringing a drug to market. My dad said, you probably wouldn't have heard of it. It's for IPF, idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. Rudy paused for a long time, and then he said, that's the disease that took my father's life 15 years ago. Rudy says that this is the moment he fell in love with my father. In my family, we have a special love for my father's inventions. And in particular, we have a reverence for his patents. We have framed patents on the wall in our house. Last year, I met the director of the U.S. Patent Office for the first time, and I sent my family a selfie from that office in Virginia. I got so many emojis back, you would have thought I had met Beyoncé. But truth be told, I was actually there to talk about a problem. How our outdated patent system is fueling the high cost of medicines and costing lives.
Okay, so the patent system. Before we launch into that, can we just kind of go back to how the patent system was intended to work, particularly in medicine?
Sure. So in the United States, we have the U.S. Constitution, which talks about the idea of patents, which is basically that you want to give a time-limited monopoly to someone who invents something, which will, in theory, incentivize them to invent. It will reward them for inventing, and ultimately the public is going to benefit from that invention.
So the idea is like it's a prepackaged deal. You get a monopoly for a few years, then it goes into the public domain, right?
That's right. So patents are supposed to be a 20-year monopoly under current law here in the United States and in many other places, which is quite a long time if you think about it, where nobody else, there's no competition on the market. Nobody else can sell it, make it, because you were the inventor, you have that reward. And during that time, the inventor would have a time-limited monopoly. But when the monopoly period ends, when that 20 years ends, we would see competition in the market. And research has shown that, you know, by the time you get two or even three competitors on the market, the price usually comes down by up to 80%. And that's what we want. We want healthy competition in the marketplace. We want a marketplace that offers us a lot of options so we can pick what's best for us and our families.
Today, over 2 billion people live without access to medicines. And against this global crisis, drug prices are skyrocketing, including in wealthier countries. 34 million Americans have lost a family member or a friend in the last 5 years, not because the treatment didn't exist, but because they couldn't afford it. Rising drug costs are pushing families into homelessness, seniors into bankruptcy, and parents to crowdfunding treatment for their critically ill children. There are many reasons for this crisis, but one is the outdated patent system that America tries to export to the rest of the world.
So you laid out a few minutes ago how the patent system should work, that it should be this symbiotic relationship between a drug manufacturer and the public, where both end up benefiting. But you're saying that actually the system doesn't really work out like that.
That's right. Our research has shown that on the 10 best-selling drugs in America, on average, each has 131 patent applications today. And that means that monopoly period on a given medicine is going from 20 years, almost doubling to nearing 40 years. And what we're seeing during that monopoly period that's getting longer and longer is that towards the end of it, prices are rising sharply. And people are dying as a result. 13% of Americans are saying that they know someone who died in the last 5 years, a family member or a friend, who died in the last 5 years because they couldn't afford their medication. And that number is twice as high for people of color.
So where did things go wrong? Like, when did the system start veering away from benefiting the public and really benefiting the drug companies?
It's a great question that you ask. In the late 70s, early 80s, I would say, we reorganized our economy in a whole host of different ways. And one of those ways that I think is less understood by a lot of folks is that innovation became a central pillar for our economic growth. Mm-hmm. And that's a great thing, right? We all want progress. But over time, what happened is we saw the corporatization of innovation. You know, in the first 150 years of our country's history, we saw 5 million patents being filed. Mm. But today, just over the last, 30, 40 years, we see another 6 million have been granted. So did we get drastically more inventive?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. When you say that, I'm like, amazing, so much more innovation.
No, what's happened is actually that we've started granting a lot more patents. It really flies in the face of common sense to think that one drug could have over 100 patents on it. But what you'll see is that the best-selling drugs in America have 200, 300, even 400 patents on them. And that's where we have to do something about this.
Right. So when a single drug has hundreds of patents, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're vastly improving or changing the drug with each one. It just ends up being a way for a pharmaceutical company to hold on to their monopoly. Is there a particular drug right now that you are thinking of that illustrates that?
The one that comes to mind for me is Keytruda. It's a cancer drug. What we have seen with Keytruda is that it's in the very early stages, actually. Keytruda is going to be our top-selling drug in 2024. Hmm. It's already nearing 100 patents being granted. And we know that they're going to have another at least 8 years of extended exclusivity.
And that's on top of the 20 years they're supposed to have.
That's right. And Americans are going to be paying, get this, during that 8 years, $137 billion for this drug. This is the direction we've gone. The system has gotten out of balance. Granting patents without really looking at the quality. How many of these are actually rewarding true invention? And how many have just become part of a business strategy? In the legal profession, we call this life cycle management. How do we get as many patents as possible? How do we build that patent wall for this product so nobody else can enter the market for as long as possible?
Literally block people with a patent wall.
Right. It's a legitimate business practice. There's nothing illegal about it. And the real question for us is, how are we going to bring it back?
The higher a patent wall a company builds, the longer they hold on to their monopoly. And with no one to compete with, they can set prices at whim. And because these are medicines and not designer watches, we have no choice but to pay. It doesn't have to be this way. We can create a modern patent system to meet the needs of a 21st century society. And to do that, we need to reimagine the patent system to serve the public, not just corporations. So how do we do it? 5 reforms. First, we need to stop handing out so many patents. We hand out patents worth billions of dollars for minor changes. It's time to raise the bar. Second, we need to change the financial incentives of the patent office. Right now, the revenue of the patent office is directly linked to the number of patents that it grants. That's like private prisons getting paid more to hold more people. It naturally leads to more incarceration, The same is true for patents. Third, we need more public participation. Right now, the patent system is like a black box. It's a two-way conversation between the patent office and industry. You and I aren't invited to that party. But imagine if instead, the patent office became a dynamic center for citizen learning and ingenuity, enabling us to participate in the policy conversations that directly impact our health and lives. Fourth, we need to get the right to go to court. Right now in America, after a patent is granted, the public has no legal standing. Only those with a commercial interest, usually other drug companies, have that right. But I've witnessed firsthand how lives can be saved when everyday citizens have the right to go to court. Back in 2006 in India, my organization worked with patient advocates to challenge legally unjust HIV drug patents at a time when so many people were dying because medicines were priced out of reach. We were able to bring down the prices of medicines by up to 87%. Cases like these can save millions of lives and billions of dollars. Imagine if Americans had the right to go to court too. And lastly, we need stronger oversight that can serve as a public advocate, regularly monitoring the activities of the patent office and reporting to Congress. If a unit like this had existed, it would have caught, for example, the Silicon Valley company Theranos before it got so many patents for blood testing and landed a valuation of $9 billion, when in reality, there was no invention there at all.
I guess when talking about these reforms, it's important to keep in mind, yes, there are financial costs, as you've mentioned, but there are other big costs as well, right?
Absolutely. I think one of the clearest examples of this that we've seen in recent years is the growth of the insulin movement. People living with diabetes, we hear family after family saying, you know, my child actually died because they couldn't afford their insulin, or my sister passed away because she decided not to pick up her insulin because the prices have gone up. And so I think people living with diabetes are one of the clearest examples that we have in America today of where we actually have a monopoly-based system through patents, but through other, you know, realms as well, where a few companies have the power to determine the health and lives of people, and the market isn't giving them the incentives to do the right thing. That's why we have to democratize these systems now and make sure that people whose lives are directly being affected have the ability to actually weigh in. You know, when we talk about the patent system, we're talking about the root source of power. And right now it's currently wired to just drive inequity. And what we're talking about is how do we rewire it to actually work for people?
So I do want to ask you, there might be people listening who say, well, you know, there is a reason why the United States is considered the most innovative country of all. There's a reason why people come here to start their companies. How do you assuage their fears that making things more litigious or passing legislation that challenges patents won't destroy some of that entrepreneurial spirit that exists in the United States?
I think the answer is that what we need to imagine is the system that gets us the best quality patents, that gets us the ability to progress science, to progress technology, but also make sure that the public gets the benefit of that science and technology. Right now, we're not getting that. And so legislation, reforms can seem intimidating, but if done well, if we have the right kind of leadership who can provide a vision for how to get us there in a way that preserves the best of the current system while actually modernizing this system to bring it into the 21st century, we will be able to have a system that really encourages entrepreneurs and inventors and also makes sure that the public is served writ large.
You know, Preethi, it's interesting to be talking about reinventing the patent system in light of what is going on in the world. I mean, we are still living through a pandemic, and there's still this debate over how to make vaccines and treatments accessible to everyone.
And I think this is where we come back to, we can't rely on the voluntary actions of entities that are not incentivized to do this. This is why we need government. You know, if you look at the vaccine, you know, we have Pfizer, we have Moderna, Americans are getting these vaccines, but they're not reaching the vast majority of the world. And we're not getting what we want out of Pfizer and Moderna in terms of good corporate behavior either, in terms of licensing to as many suppliers as possible, participating in the World Health Organization's technology sharing pool. Why not? Why aren't voluntary actions working? We're not incentivizing them to do it as corporate actors. And I think these are the hard questions we need to start really looking at, because at least with the pandemic, what we know is that none of us are safe until all of us are safe. The longer this continues, the greater the chance that variants are going to come back, and this thing is just going to drag on forever. So what are the incentives we need, and how do we get there? I think this is the next chapter for the work. There's an invitation here for all of us to think differently and think bigger and to push our government here in the United States, but also governments all over the world, to move quicker, to do more, to compel our companies to do right the right thing if our market incentives aren't getting us there.
Yeah.
I think we're in a moment right now, particularly with the pandemic, where every person is understanding that knowledge shouldn't be locked up, that knowledge, if shared, has the potential to actually save humanity in a moment like this. And yet all of our systems and structures, particularly intellectual property, are based on the idea of locking up and proprietizing and monetizing knowledge. So, how do we flip that? How do we open it up to a different paradigm where knowledge is actually shared, where it's developed, where it's not locked up, and where the fruits of all of that knowledge and research and collaboration then make it to the people waiting for that, the fruits of that labor?
That's lawyer Preethi Krishtel. She's also the co-founder of IMAC, a nonprofit that advocates for patent reform. You can see her full talk at TED.com. On the show today, Bucking the System. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.